range. 1:13 about to be delivered. 2-2 to Michael Busch. Cease kicks and fires, and that is right at the top of the zone. Strike three called. 12 strikeouts on the day for Dylan Cease and 7 shutout innings.
Oh, what a day for Dylan Cease, returning to Chicago, where he not only was drafted by the Cubs, but where he starred crosstown for the White Sox today. He returned to the North Side, and he shut down Chicago to lead the Padres with a 3-0 victory over the Cubs and a series win. Welcome into Gwynn and Chris, everybody, the Wednesday edition. We've got 3 full hours with you today, right up until 6 o'clock. And then it's the return of the Scraby Chronicles. Matt Scraby will be in here tonight. He's here now, but
yes.
He'll be in here alone. He'll be left to his own devices between 6 and 7 p.m. tonight for the Scraby Chronicles. So we all look forward to that. We're going to do our regular stuff today on the program. We've got Chris versus the Fans coming up in about an hour. Chance for you to win a trip to Las Vegas. We'll get a big 5 in. We have our Daily Gambit. Going to do that a little later in the show this evening. And also coming up today, Scrabe, I'm donning the wig. It's an afternoon of sports court.
Oh, yes.
Coming up in about a half an hour, I got to go dig out the old judge's wig.
If you have not seen it yet, Chris fits this wig so perfect that you may think it's his actual hair.
You have to tune in on the YouTube to watch the program. You can access that. Just go to YouTube and search 97.3 The Fan. You can always watch the show, but today it would be especially fun to watch the show. The Padres are coming home. All is good in the world of the Friars, or is it?
What?
Friars beat the Cubs today. Friars take the series. Friars take the road trip. Friars come home. Everybody's happy. Everybody's feeling good. Except me. I'm not feeling good about things right now.
What?
And
wait, what?
I'm not. I'm going to get into this in a little bit. I want to first discuss the fact that, you know, they played really well today. But, you know, it was all Dylan Cease today. I mean, come on, 7 innings. Of course, the one hit he gives up is to Yan Gomes. I blame you for that, by the way.
I didn't do anything today with Yan Gomes.
Well, you were the one yesterday who posted Yan Gomes as 100 for 100 in his career against the Padres.
I'm just posting facts, Chris.
You're not posting facts. He's 100 for 102. He actually made 2 outs today.
Wow, that's incredible.
But he did get their only hit. It was an infield single. It was off the glove of Dylan Cease. Rolled out towards Xander Bogaerts at second base. Xander made a perfect play on it, came in, fielded it, threw. And I thought, you know, at first glance, they had Gomes at first base. Bang, bang play. He was called safe. Mike Shildt, you know, held everything up to look for the replay. But alas, he was safe. So Cubs got their only hit, and you know, there was no-hitter today. I will say this. Dylan Cease would have never finished up a no-hitter on his own. He threw 113 pitches today. Not only did that tie for the most ever in his career, it was the second most pitches thrown by any pitcher in baseball this year. Chris Bassitt of Toronto had a 116-pitch performance earlier this year. Cease just missed eclipsing that. But he struck out 12. He struck out the side 3 times.
Yes,
today. I mean, he was just absolutely flying through the Cubs. The wind was blowing in. It wouldn't have mattered, right, today?
No one made good contact, really.
No, I don't think anybody. They hit a couple of fly balls, but for the most part, he was in complete control. He improves to 5-2. The ERA is 2.19. And you know what's funny is everybody's going to forget that A.J. Preller made another one of his really good trades to bring in Dylan Cease.
That's a very good trade.
Where would the Padres be without this guy?
Yeah.
I know they had to, you know, part with some of their young prospects. Included was Drew Thorpe. All right. But can you remember anybody else off the top of your head?
I can't, but that's just because I work in this.
You're just kind of crazy like that.
Jairo Iriarte.
Okay.
Then there was, who else was there?
Exactly.
Steven Wilson, obviously.
Well, I know Steven Wilson went, yeah. But, you know, honestly, that's the thing to me. Prospects are fun. They're prospects.
Oh, Zavala.
Okay, yeah. All right. But anyway, would you trade those guys again for what Dylan Cease has done?
Yes.
Of course you would.
Yes.
The other guy that, you know, A.J. Preller just got, Luis Arraez, again for prospects. Two more hits today for Arraez. He triggered both rallies, you know, for the Padres. He scored two runs. He got hit by a pitch. I mean, the guy's, you know, he's paying dividends already. And, again, after a couple of weeks go by, I'm pretty sure you'll all forget all the prospects that they traded to get him.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the fact of the matter is, Arraez is here now, Cease is here now, and where would the Padres be without these guys? But the thing that has me a little bit, and one more thing about today's game that was impressive. Padres scored three runs today. All three of them were on two-out clutch singles. Every single time, Manny Machado had a two-out clutch single to score the first run of the game. And then it was Tatis and Cronenworth with two-out clutch singles to score the other two runs. So that was it. Padres had only one extra base hit today. That was a double by Cronenworth. But, you know, all in all, in fact, Cronenworth's RBI was a double, not a single. But you don't get my point.
Yeah.
They got some clutch hitting today. They've been getting clutch hitting all year. They're 3-7 with runners in scoring position again. They're leading baseball. They're leading baseball in OPS with runners on base. They're the best team in baseball
that
right now.
That actually shocks me.
With runners on base.
With how much time we spend talking about that.
All right. Here's the other thing. They got Cease going good. They got Darvish going well. You know, they're now 19-11 when they have one of their top four pitchers on the mound. Of course, Musgrove is, you know, on the injured list for now. But if you've got Darvish, Musgrove, Cease, or even King, the Padres are a 19-11 baseball team. So things are sailing along when they win games. Their starting pitching now has an ERA of 2.58 in their 20 wins. They have 12 quality starts out of those 20 wins. I mean, everything seems wonderful.
Yeah, what's going on in that head of yours? You keep building them up. When I'm waiting for you to tear them down.
Here's the problem, Scraby, and this is a big problem. All of those good things are happening. They're 20-20. That's not good enough. You're not going to go anywhere at 20-20. We are now a quarter of the way through the season. You go 20-20 three more times, you're going to be 80-80. You're not going to go to the postseason. To me, the Padres are doing a really lousy job of taking advantage of all of the good things that are happening. Profar is having the year of his life. He almost won the ball game for you last night. You know, Jackson Merrill has had a great debut and has taken over in center field. There's too many good things happening to be 20-20. This team, they won today, but they always win. Every team always wins when their starting pitcher goes seven innings and gives up one hit. You're going to win that game. What the Padres have to start doing and what they're not doing is winning some games that are not automatic to win. They got to figure out a way to start getting some of these games. I mentioned that they're 19-11 when their four starters, 1-4, are on the mound. They're 1-9 when either Waldron or Vasquez starts. You got to start winning some of these games. If you're going to be a playoff team, you can't just forfeit the game every time the fifth starter in your rotation pitches. You can't forfeit the game when Vasquez pitches. You've got to win some of these games. You got to find a way to get it done. They're having a great season on the road. They're having a terrible season at home. They're hitting with runners in scoring position, but then they're not winning. They're doing all of these things really well. But it should translate to 24-16, not 20-20. This is where the problem is. And I think right now, a lot of people are all in their happy feelings, really just sailing along happily with what the Padres are doing this year. But somebody's got to call it out and say, hey, 20-20 is not going to get you where you want to go.
You've got
to do better than this.
I'll hold on. Because if I were to have the same exact take, I think your answer would be, it's too early.
Well, it's not. It's now.
Wait, you can't move the goalposts.
Here's the problem. You're now 40 games in. If you're going to go 40 games and go 20-20 again and a couple more times, you're not going to make it. At some point, you've got to start winning more than you're losing. You've got to start edging ahead of that 500 mark.
I get that.
You've got to follow up one of these road trips with a good homestand.
They're only a quarter of the way through the season is what I have ringing through my head right now.
Okay, fine. The good news is they're not out of it. The good news is they've, you know, hung in there. They've stabilized through the first 5-6 weeks of the season. The bad news is they haven't yet figured out a way to consistently win more than they're losing. And that is what we have to discuss, and that is what we have to figure out. We have to find a way for this team to take advantage of Profar, to take advantage of Cease, to take advantage of the hitting with runners in scoring position and the overall hitting with runners on base. We've got to take advantage of Robert Suarez, who, you know, just absolutely automatic right now, 12 for 12. Those things aren't going to keep up all season. So what happens when some of those go away? Is something else going to replace them? What is going to get this team to go from 20-20 and now in the next 40 games to go 25-15 so that they can actually get into contention for a playoff spot? Because right now they're just kind of on the sidelines.
You can't judge this version of this team for another maybe 20-30 games because Luis Arraez is going to change the lineup. It already has changed the lineup. It's already done good things for the Padres.
I hope you're right.
You know, you're getting more support on the chat than I actually thought you were going to get because...
Oh, I know I'm going to get a lot of support on this because right now the fans, some of them are happy, but a lot of them are seeing the same thing that I'm seeing, and that is so many good things happening except for the record not being what it should be. To me, and this is hard to define, but to me right now, the Padres are less than the sum of their parts. The parts are Arraez joining. The parts are Profar and Suarez and Cease and all of these games that they pitched and hit and with runners in scoring position.
Manny had a good series.
And Merrill and Manny starting to pick it up and Fernando. All of these are the parts. The sum should be better than 20-20 based on what I've seen so far. Jake Cronenworth has had a remarkable resurgence this year. He's at 292.
He really has.
I mean, there's so many good things happening. And I think what we're doing and what we have been doing on this show is focusing on all of the really good things that are happening. But we're not paying attention to the fact that 2020 is not good enough. Not good enough. You got to be better. You have to be better than 20-20 if you want to be in the postseason. I'm sorry. They have to figure out a way, you know, to come home. They got the Dodgers, a team that has beaten them 13 years in a row in the season series.
Hey, they've already got a good start on it.
Okay, well, let's see if they can do it again. You know, you got the Rockies after that. We're going to have another split with them, or are we going to take care of business like we should?
No, you have to take care of business against the Rockies.
Okay, well, you know, 20-20 is not enough. So my question to you out there, what do we have to do to get beyond 20-20? Because I've seen what I've seen to get us to this point, and I'm seeing a lot of good stuff. But what do we got to do to get beyond this? 833-288-0973. Maybe you completely disagree. Maybe you are happy as a clam that the Padres are 20-20. I don't think that's enough. This team is not having the kind of results that the individual performances say it should be having.
I think we're in bizarro world because I can almost guarantee this take would have put me into the loony bin.
Here's the problem. You might have had this take, but you wouldn't have backed it up with as much ammunition as I did.
You don't know that.
I do know that because
no,
I've seen your takes before.
And they're great takes. That's why I have a show now, Chris.
I know you do. And you can comment on your takes a little bit later on.
I'm just going to comment about the last for the hour that I'm being gaslit by you guys about this whole thing. It's too early. Now it's not too early? I don't get it. It was too early like a week ago. Now it's not too early.
It's not too early to start playing a little bit better than 500 baseball.
Actually, great question from Reed, and you're going to answer it on the other side. Chris, what would you like the record to be right now on the other side?
We'll check some traffic. We'll get into this conversation a little bit further. There's no traffic yet out there? That's good.
No, I told Kelly Danik she should not expect the traffic before 3:30.
All right, we'll take our regular break then, come back. We are underway for a Wednesday. Somebody's got to light a fire under this team, and it might as well be me. I'm Gwynn and Chris, 97.3 The Fan. All right, Padres' last three road trips. At L.A., Dodgers, at Milwaukee, they went 4-2. At Colorado, 2-2. That wasn't great. And then this road trip at Arizona and Chicago, 4-2. So those are all winning results. So why isn't this team winning more overall? Scraby says it's very simple.
Very simple.
They're 8-11 at home.
Yep.
8-12 is their home record.
Yes.
Because they were saddled with a home loss
In Korea.
Yeah. But officially at home, they're 8-11. They've got the Dodgers for 3 and the Rockies for 3. Chance to do something about that home record. Chris Sello, Tony Gwynn Jr., of course, is off today. He and the Padres are traveling back. Tony will be with us for a full program tomorrow.
Yes, he will.
Starting at 2 o'clock, we'll also have our Padres roundtable tomorrow at 10 a.m. And I'm going to bring all this stuff up on the roundtable tomorrow.
You're going to ruffle feathers with everyone?
I don't know that I'm going to ruffle feathers. Maybe, Ben and Woods and, Annie and Elston, maybe they agree with me. I don't know. I'm not mad at the team. I'm not throwing out the season. Somebody said, what should their record be? I'd be happy with 23-17 right now. Just get me, the way they've played well enough to be 5 or 6 games over 500. That's my whole point here. And they got to find a way to get beyond 20-20. I mean, they've been kind of, huddling around this 500 mark all year long. As a matter of fact,
all year long, they played 40 games.
Yeah, well, to this point, that's where they've been. Scrape, the highest they've been over 500 so far is 11-9 after they won in Milwaukee on April 16th. You got to get 4, 5, 6 games over 500. That's all. And somebody said, hey, Chris, 20-20 is good enough to be in the playoffs right now. No, it's not. The Nationals won last night. They're 18-17. They would have the final wild card spot right now if that mattered.
If you want Chris to get mad, tell him he's wrong about a stat that he knows is right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, don't make an argument and be wrong.
I go in the break, I'm like, Chris, you were wrong. They would be in the wild card.
And I said, because I wouldn't bring it up if I was wrong.
It's winning at home, Chris. That's all it is.
Well, it's two things. It really is. Statistically, it's two things. One, winning at home, where they're 8-11. And the other thing is finding a way to win with your number 5 starter on the mound.
Yeah.
And if you want to blame Waldron for all of it.
Well, he is the number 5 starter.
Yes, he is. But it's still a team game. Vasquez, they're 0-3 with him pitching too. Now, he pitched well enough to help them win last night. They didn't get it done. The bullpen couldn't hold it. So you've got to win some of these games. 1-9, you can't just phone away every one of those games. And we're looking at the weekend coming up, right? King is pitching Friday night. Waldron Saturday.
Home runs to the Dodgers last time.
All right, that's last time. Look, King, like I said, they have a 19-11 record with King, Darvish, Musgrove, and Cease. King has not been unbelievable, but at least he's 3-3. It's given him a chance to win these games. Yeah. They're winning a good majority of his games.
He shows he can lock it down.
Saturday, Waldron is pitching. So are you just going to say, we give up in that game? That's my point. You can't give up that game. You've got to say, hey, we got to find a way to win it. Whether you got to score 8 runs, whether you got to throw out some base runners trying to steal to help Waldron, whatever it is, you got to find a way to win some of these Waldron games, and you got to start find a way to win some of these Vasquez games, because these guys are pitching right now in 2 of the next 4 games. You can't just give them up.
I agree with you on the Matt Waldron not being his fault thing, because he has pitched some good games for the Padres, and they just haven't driven.
He's pitched
runs
better
for him.
Than a 1-6 record in his record. His record alone is not 1-6, but they are 1-6 with him in there.
Yes.
Okay.
He's pitched well enough to get some wins, so well, I won't say that he's the sole reason.
He's not the sole reason. He pitched terrible last time out. I get that, but he's not the sole reason. They've got to find a way to win some of those games, and they got to do better at home if they want to go get where they want to go. Yep. That's all I'm saying, and I'm sure where they want to go is the postseason.
I think they want to go to the postseason.
All right. So, and I believe there's a difference because I agree. I think you're trying to say that I'm being hypocritical because Tony and I
know that I used that word.
You didn't, but you
said you moved the goalpost.
You're insinuating that I'm being hypocritical because Tony and I always say it's early. Yeah, it's early for, you know, for some individual guys to get going. It's early for some pitchers to get into, you know, a rhythm and into a groove. It's not too early to start trying to figure out a way to get away from this nasty 500 mark.
Okay, we can agree on that.
All right. We don't have time for calls at the moment because we're at the bottom of the hour. So
we can
if you're online.
One if you want.
No, we'll get some. We'll hold off on the sports court. If you called in, you want to discuss this, you agree, you think I'm an idiot, 833-288-0973. The Chris is an Idiot line is always open
always
for business.
Open.
Sure, Scraby puts you right to the front if you think that.
It's like the bat phone. It just goes off. It says Idiot line is ringing.
Yes, there's like a light goes up in the sky when the idiot Chris is an Idiot line rings. So, all right, your calls, conversation, when we come back, Gwen and Chris. That's a good phone call day. We'll get to your phone calls here shortly. 3:39 is the time. Chris Ello, Matt Scraby, together in our Odyssey Palace studios. Despite everything that I'm ranting and raving about, Padres did win today, 3-0.
Oh, did they?
Over the Cubs. Yeah. But I've had enough of this feel-good 20-20 thing. Going to have to do better. If you love Mediterranean food, like I love Mediterranean food, try Spiro's. They got authentic Mediterranean cuisine. It's in Coronado, La Jolla, or now at the ballpark at Petco Park for dining, takeout options, or catering. Visit spirocuisine.com.
I have a comment before we get into the phone calls.
What you got?
From Lisa. Lisa is a very good fan of ours and listener. Chris, 2 days ago, and thank you, Lisa, for saying this. Chris, 2 days ago, you said we were poised for a run. Yes, the Pods lost the next game, though we won the next after that. But it's quite the 180. Very good point, Lisa.
I am hoping for a run. I am feeling a run. And I'm not going back on that prediction. I'm just saying that I'm trying to light a little fire maybe to get the run going. I mean, you got to get the run. You can't, I'm predicting it. It's still got to happen. The run hasn't happened yet, right? What's the most they've won in a row? 4 straight?
Yeah, that's it.
And like I said, the most they've been over 500 is 2 games.
I feel like the Phillies have had like 3 separate 7-game win streaks this year.
Whatever their latest streak is stopped today. They lost to the Blue Jays 5-3. Dodgers won again. I don't know what the Dodgers are at in terms of winning streak.
Ooh,
I
think they put together a nice run.
7 in a row coming in here for the series on Friday night. But, all right, what do you think out there? Lisa, thank you. You're right. Keep me in check. But I'm hoping for a run, but I want to know what are we going to need to do to actually have it? Baker, lead us off here today on Gwen and Chris. How are you today, sir?
Hey, fabulous. Yeah, Baker Man here in La Jolla. Longtime listener, first time caller. I love listening to you guys, but I here's one thing that I really think about. You know, you look at last year's playoffs, and the number one wild card team was Philadelphia at 90-72. And, you know, not too many people would be excited if the Padres had gone 11-9 in their first 20 or 18 or had, what you had suggested was 18-22. That's satisfactory. It's actually, if they win 11 out of 20, that's actually a .555 clip. That puts them at 89 wins. And in the National League, that's going to get them a wild card. I think that this team certainly has a chance to go on at least as long of a winning streak as they did a 5-game losing streak. And I really just think they're getting warmed up. So I think we're going to see this team with the number one wild card this year when it's all said and done.
All right, thanks, Baker. Right. Appreciate that.
First time, long time. I love that.
Yeah, I like to hear from Baker there. He's wrong.
Wait, what? What? No.
11-9 and 89 is not going to get you the top wild card, not in a league where the Braves and Phillies are in the same league.
Sorry, Baker.
But 89 will get you a wild card. I agree with him there. But they're not going 11-9 every 20 games right now. So far, they're going 10-10 every 20 games. There's a difference. And if you look at the wild card last year, the Diamondbacks got it with 84-78, 6 games over. But the Padres need to figure out a way to get to 6 games over. I mean, that's my whole point here. They don't need to be 20 games over 500. They need to be 6 to 10 games over 500 at some point. And what I'm concerned about, even though I'm predicting a hot streak, I'm hopeful for a hot streak, and although I agree that it's still early, what I'm concerned about is a lot of really good individual things are happening, and the record is not holding up to that.
I feel that too, Chris. I feel that like sometimes the hitting's really good, but the pitching's bad. Sometimes the starting pitching is good, but the bullpen's bad. Sometimes the closer's been great all year.
Yeah.
But they're not all at times. They have one group of their team doing well and the other team not doing, or the group not.
I mean, they've won 6 of their last 8 games right now. All right.
And we're complaining.
Well, that's gotten them back to 500. Now can you win 6 of 8 again? And go 4 games over 500. That's what I'm asking. And I don't care what the opponents are. The Dodgers, the Rockies, you go on the road, you got the Braves, you got some good teams coming up. You're going to have to beat some of these teams. And because you're losing to some of the bad teams. We already saw the Rockies, you know, give you a problem. This team should be better in 2020. This is why my frustration today.
They have had a really hard schedule, too.
Not going to get a lot easier. Have you looked at it?
Well, not in the near term, but in the beginning of the year, they've played a lot of good teams.
I don't really care.
And
what.
Finally today, you know how we always come in here and we say, oh, well, they just went up against an ace. Finally today, the Padres got to say, hey, that other team went up against an ace. It doesn't usually happen that way, I don't feel like.
Well, I don't know. Over the course of 162, you're going to play everybody, right? It's a, quote, balanced schedule.
True. Sure.
So you're going to play all the good teams and all the bad teams at some point. You're going to face your share of aces. You're going to face your share of number 5 starters. I guarantee you the Dodgers record isn't 1-9 when their number 5 starter's going. You can't have that and have the record that they have.
I'll go look at that.
Would you please?
Yes.
Let me go to Jed in Little Italy.
I think Jed's on the chat. He's been itching to get on the line.
Jed, welcome to the show.
Boys, how we doing?
Good, thanks.
Hello. Honestly, I got to agree with you because I said the same exact thing last night, but then I had to backtrack myself and take a little bit deeper look into what's actually going on. And 20-20, 500 is not with this really lengthened lineup now that we have Luis Arraez. So I'd like to see how the team does in the next 40 games because I truthfully believe that addition, moving Kim down to 9, Xander in the 6 or 7 is one of the top lineups in all of baseball. And also touching on what you guys were just talking about with the very tough start to the year, I've kind of dug ahead. I looked forward in the month of August and September. There's only like 14 games out of almost 40 that are against teams above 500. In the month of September, 21 out of 28 games are against the very lower level teams. And that's hopefully we can kind of tread water and be above 500 hitting that and then get on a 10 for 15 out of those games there and roll into the playoffs well above 500.
I hope you're right. I know last year they did awfully well in September. It was a little late, right? I mean, it was kind of over when they made their run. In fact, they won their last 5 games last year.
I hate when people say that because it wasn't kind of over. They had a playoff shot until like 6 games left.
Yeah. Well, they won their last 5 games. So they couldn't have had much of a playoff shot with 6 games left because they won them all.
I love how
and they still didn't get into the playoffs.
That run at the end of last year doesn't matter, even though it did matter.
Fine.
They got them to 500.
They closed the season last year 14-2.
That's amazing.
That's great. So, but don't tell me they had a shot at the playoffs. They went 14-2 and still didn't make it.
That's the whole thing of last year, is that they were in it until the end.
They were not really in it till the end. They were 10 games. They were 10 games out on September. They were 10 games under 500 on September 12th. And then when we all started getting our football and NFL season on, they went on a crazy roll down the stretch.
I'd rather them have that roll
to
last
get close.
Year.
Not close enough.
They are going to have to at least start winning to get, like you said, 6 games over .500.
I want to. They got to get up there. All right, Kerry, welcome to the show. Thanks for calling, Kerry. Hello.
Hello, Kerry.
Kerry, you're on.
I don't hear. Okay, we're going to. I'll put her back on hold.
Put her back on hold. Let's go to Gabe.
Gabe.
Hi, Gabe. Welcome.
Hey, boys. Hey. Hey, Chris, I share your frustration. I think it's more the bullpen. But I'm also, quite frankly, concerned about Musgrove's health and a thin rotation. But come All-Star break, I think they'll be able to figure that out and then make a run and stay close. And I also agree with the last caller that the lineup has diametrically changed this past week, and it's much more lengthened, and you're looking at a different team now.
I hope you're right. I hope you're right.
Thank you, Gabe.
As I said 2 days ago, Lisa pointed out, I'm feeling a little bit of a hot streak. Today, I'm, trying to light a fire to get that hot streak. That's all. Seriously.
Nate makes a great point. It strengthens your point on the chat. He said 6-4 in the last 10, still about .500, even with all this winning that they've been doing.
That just got a lot of good things happening this year. Let's go back to the beginning of the season. Huge question marks. Suarez. How's that been answered? With an A+.
Yes.
Huge question mark. Cronenworth. There are people totally ready to give up on that guy. Answer, plus. Jerks and Profar, everyday left fielder. Huge question mark. Answer, A+.
So far.
Hitting with runners in scoring position, hitting with runners on base. Worst team in baseball last year. This year, A+. Best team in baseball. Those are stats. Those are facts. And also 20-20. The old, you are what your record says you are.
You are who we thought you were.
They're
second, you may have just said this, but they're second in baseball in batting average as a team.
Are they?
The Dodgers.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
they jumped up a little bit in the recent games.
They're 260 as a team. They're in the top 10 of OPS. I know we talked about that yesterday. So you're right. There are great performances happening throughout the year so far, but they're not getting the wins to back it up.
Not enough. Not enough wins. Like I said, they don't need to be 30-10 right now. But they should be 23-17, comfortably over .500. I mean, they just played .500 ball at home. They'd be comfortably over .500. 8-11 at Petco Park, despite people coming out in droves.
I don't have the stats.
Come on, guys.
I don't have the stats behind me to back this up, but haven't they traditionally always been not as great at home?
I don't think any team traditionally is better on the road than they are at home. Except maybe the Astros.
That's true.
The Astros had a crazy split last year.
They really did.
Let's go to Frank. Rancho Bernardo. A really nice place. It is.
Hi, guys.
Hey, Frank.
How you doing?
Hey, there's a couple things I've been dying to talk to you guys about. One, if Kim and Bogaerts want to hit more than .205 or .210, they're going to have to stop taking strike one and strike two every time they're at bat. They take way too many strikes.
Okay.
And I'm surprised the manager hasn't talked to him about that, or the hitting coach. And, it's like, do you ever look at your tapes and see that you take two good pitches and swing at a bad one? That's why they're hitting .210.
One of the reasons, let me jump in, then you'll get your chance. Hang on, Frank. One of the things, Bogaerts and Kim, look, they both stink. Kim's better than Bogaerts. I've stuck up for Bogaerts, if not more than anybody. It's hard to watch this guy right now. But it also does seem, when you're struggling, that it's always 0-2. It just always seems like it goes that way. You're never ahead 2-0. And you take a pitch, and like you said, you're down in the count. Somehow Bogaerts has got to figure this out. Because either that, or another month goes by, All-Star game, he can't be batting fifth or sixth in your lineup hitting like this.
Well, they're not going to sit him.
I know they're not going to sit him, but he can't be hitting fifth or sixth in your lineup. You know, Kim, same thing, but they've dropped him down to nine. I don't know where you're going to – I guess you drop him out.
Yeah.
You could put Manny at short and Solano at third.
I mean,
you
want to
make
that either.
You want to make that crazy of a move?
I don't think so.
Go ahead, Frank.
Well, one more thing I'd like to mention. The three big guys, and obviously one of them, Bogarts, from an income standpoint,
yeah.
Machado and Tatis, none of them are hitting. And this team is not going to make a run until the big three, or at least two of those big three, start hitting the baseball. Bogart's got 11 RBIs.
He has no RBIs in his last 50 at-bats. That honestly is not – that's not acceptable.
How many at-bats did he have with runners in scoring position?
I don't know, but I know that it's been 50 ABs since he's knocked in a run. Frank's right, and this is something I have said. Machado and Tatis have to be bigger dogs than they've been. You know, they're doing all right, but they're not paid to do all right. They're paid to dominate.
I feel like we are in such a weird world right now because they've just beat a good team on the road at Wrigley.
And this is the time to take stock of it. This is the time to come home and say, hey, great guys. We've done a lot of great. That's a good phone call day. We'll get to your phone calls here shortly. 3:39 is the time. Crisello, Matt Scraby together in our Odyssey Palace studios. Despite everything that I'm ranting and raving about, Padres did win today, 3-0.
Oh, did they?
Over the Cubs. Yeah. But I've had enough of this feel-good 20-20 thing. Going to have to do better. If you love Mediterranean food, like I love Mediterranean food, try Spiro's. They got authentic Mediterranean cuisine. It's in Coronado, La Jolla, or now at the ballpark at Petco Park for dining, takeout options, or catering. Visit spirocuisine.com.
I have a comment before we get into the phone calls.
What you got?
From Lisa. Lisa is a very good fan of ours and listener. Chris, 2 days ago, and thank you, Lisa, for saying this. Chris, 2 days ago, you said we were poised for a run. Yes, the Pods lost the next game, though we won the next after that. But it's quite the 180. Very good point, Lisa.
I am hoping for a run. I am feeling a run. And I'm not going back on that prediction. I'm just saying that I'm trying to light a little fire maybe to get the run going. I mean, you got to get the run. You can't. I mean, I'm predicting it. It's still got to happen. The run hasn't happened yet, right? What's the most they've won in a row? Four straight?
Yeah, that's it.
And like I said, the most they've been over 500 is two games.
I feel like the Phillies have had like three separate seven-game win streaks this year.
Whatever their latest streak is stopped today. They lost to the Blue Jays 5-3. Dodgers won again. I don't know what the Dodgers are at in terms of winning streak.
Ooh,
I
think they put together a nice run.
Seven
too.
In a row coming in here for the series on Friday night. But, all right, what do you think out there? Lisa, thank you. You're right. Keep me in check. But I'm hoping for a run, but I want to know what are we going to need to do to actually have it? Baker, lead us off here today on Gwynn and Chris. How are you today, sir?
Hey, fabulous. Yeah, Baker Man here in La Jolla. Longtime listener, first time caller. I love listening to you guys, but I here's one thing that I really think about. You know, you look at last year's playoffs, and the number one wild card team was Philadelphia at 90-72. And, you know, not too many people would be excited if the Padres had gone 11-9 in their first 20 or 18 or had, what you had suggested was 18-22. That's satisfactory. It's actually, if they win 11 out of 20, that's actually a .555 clip. That puts them at 89 wins. And in the National League, that's going to get them a wild card. I think that this team certainly has a chance to go on at least as long of a winning streak as they did a five-game losing streak. And I really just think they're getting warmed up. So I think we're going to see this team with the number one wild card this year when it's all said and done.
All right, thanks, Baker. Right. Appreciate that.
First time, long time. I love that.
Yeah, I like to hear from Baker there. He's wrong.
Wait, what? What? No.
11-9 and 89 is not going to get you the top wild card, not in a league where the Braves and Phillies are in the same league.
Sorry, Baker.
But 89 will get you a wild card. I agree with him there. But they're not going 11-9 every 20 games right now. So far, they're going 10-10 every 20 games. There's a difference. And if you look at the wild card last year, the Diamondbacks got it with 84-78, 6 games over. But the Padres need to figure out a way to get to 6 games over. I mean, that's my whole point here. They don't need to be 20 games over 500. They need to be 6 to 10 games over 500 at some point. And what I'm concerned about, even though I'm predicting a hot streak, I'm hopeful for a hot streak, and although I agree that it's still early, what I'm concerned about is a lot of really good individual things are happening, and the record is not holding up to that.
I feel that too, Chris. I feel that like sometimes the hitting's really good, but the pitching's bad. Sometimes the starting pitching is good, but the bullpen's bad. Sometimes the closer's been great all year.
Yeah.
But they're not all at times. They have one group of their team doing well and the other team not doing, or the group not.
I mean, they've won 6 of their last 8 games right now. All right.
And we're complaining.
Well, that's gotten them back to 500. Now can you win 6 of 8 again? And go 4 games over 500. That's what I'm asking. And I don't care what the opponents are. I get the Dodgers, the Rockies, you go on the road, you got the Braves, you got some good teams coming up. You're going to have to beat some of these teams. And because you're losing to some of the bad teams. We already saw the Rockies, you know, give you a problem. This team should be better in 2020. This is why my frustration today.
They have had a really hard schedule, too.
Not going to get a lot easier. Have you looked at it?
Well, not in the near term, but in the beginning of the year, they've played a lot of good teams.
I don't really care.
And
what.
Finally today, you know how we always come in here and we say, oh, well, they just went up against an ace. Finally today, the Padres got to say, hey, that other team went up against an ace. It doesn't usually happen that way, I don't feel like.
Well, I don't know. Over the course of 162, you're going to play everybody, right? It's a, quote, balanced schedule.
True, true.
So you're going to play all the good teams and all the bad teams at some point. You're going to face your share of aces. You're going to face your share of number 5 starters. I guarantee you the Dodgers' record isn't 1-9 when their number 5 starter's going. You can't have that and have the record that they have.
I'll go look at that.
Would you please?
Yes.
Let me go to Jed in Little Italy.
I think Jed's on the chat. He's been itching to get on the line.
Jed, welcome to the show.
Boys. How we doing?
Good, thanks.
Hello. Honestly, I got to agree with you because I said the same exact thing last night, but then I had to backtrack myself and take a little bit deeper look into what's actually going on. And 20-20, 500 is not with this really lengthened lineup now that we have Luis Arraez. So I'd like to see how the team does in the next 40 games because I truthfully believe that addition – moving Kim down to 9, Xander in the 6 or 7 is one of the top lineups in all of baseball. And also touching on what you guys were just talking about with the very tough start to the year, I've kind of dug ahead. I looked forward in the month of August and September. There's only like 14 games out of almost 40 that are against teams above 500. In the month of September, 21 out of 28 games are against the very lower level teams, and that's hopefully we can kind of tread water and be above 500 hitting that and then get on a 10 for 15 out of those games there and roll into the playoffs well above 500.
I hope you're right. I know last year they did awfully well in September. It was a little late. Right? I mean, it was kind of over when they made their run. In fact, they won their last 5 games last year.
I hate when people say that because it wasn't kind of over. They had a playoff shot until like 6 games left.
Yeah. Well, they won their last 5 games. So they couldn't have had much of a playoff shot with 6 games left because they won them all.
I love how
and they still didn't get into the playoffs.
That run at the end of last year doesn't matter, even though it did matter.
Fine.
They got them to 500.
They closed the season last year 14-2.
That's amazing.
That's great. So, but don't tell me they had a shot at the playoffs. They went 14-2 and still didn't make it.
That's the whole thing of last year, is that they were in it until the end.
They were not really in it till the end. They were 10 games. They were 10 games out on September. They were 10 games under 500 on September 12th. And then when we all started getting our football and NFL season on, they went on a crazy roll down the stretch.
I'd rather them have that roll
to get close. Not close enough.
They are going to have to at least start winning to get, like you said, 6 games over .500.
I want to. They got to get up there. All right, Kerry, welcome to the show. Thanks for calling, Kerry. Hello.
Hello, Kerry.
Kerry, you're on.
I don't hear. Okay, we're going to. I'll put her back on hold.
Put her back on hold. Let's go to Gabe. Gabe. Hi, Gabe. Welcome.
Hey, boys. Hey. Hey, Chris, I share your frustration. I think it's more the bullpen. But I'm also, quite frankly, concerned about Musgrove's health and a thin rotation. But come All-Star break, I think they'll be able to figure that out and then make a run and stay close. And I also agree with the last caller that the lineup has diametrically changed this past week, and it's much more lengthened, and you're looking at a different team now.
I hope you're right. I hope you're right.
Thank you, Gabe.
As I said 2 days ago, Lisa pointed out, I'm feeling a little bit of a hot streak. Today, I'm, trying to light a fire to get that hot streak. That's all. Seriously.
Nate makes a great point. It strengthens your point on the chat. He said 6-4 in the last 10, still about .500, even with all this winning that they've been doing.
That just got a lot of good things happening this year. Let's go back to the beginning of the season. Huge question marks. Suarez. How's that been answered? With an A+.
Yes.
Huge question mark. Cronenworth. There are people totally ready to give up on that guy. Answer, plus. Jerks and Profar, everyday left fielder. Huge question mark. Answer, A+.
So far.
Hitting with runners in scoring position, hitting with runners on base. Worst team in baseball last year. This year, A+. Best team in baseball. Those are stats. Those are facts. And also 20-20. The old, you are what your record says you are.
You are who we thought you were. They're second, you may have just said this, but they're second in baseball and batting average as a team.
Are they?
The Dodgers.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
they jumped up a little bit in the recent games.
They're 260 as a team. They're in the top 10 of OPS. I know we talked about that yesterday. So you're right. There are great performances happening throughout the year so far, but they're not getting the wins to back it up.
Not enough. Not enough wins. Like I said, they don't need to be 30-10 right now. But they should be 23-17, comfortably over .500. I mean, they just played .500 ball at home. They'd be comfortably over .500. 8-11 at Petco Park, despite people coming out in droves.
I don't have the stats.
Come on, guys.
I don't have the stats behind me to back this up, but haven't they traditionally always been not as great at home?
I don't think any team traditionally is better on the road than they are at home. Except maybe the Astros.
That's true.
The Astros had a crazy split last year.
They really did.
Let's go to Frank. Rancho Bernardo. A really nice place. It is.
Hi, guys.
Hey, Frank.
How you doing?
Hey, there's a couple things I've been dying to talk to you guys about. One, if Kim and Bogaerts want to hit more than .205 or .210, they're going to have to stop taking strike one and strike two every time they're at bat. They take way too many strikes.
Okay.
And I'm surprised the manager hasn't talked to him about that, or the hitting coach. And, it's like, do you ever look at your tapes and see that you take two good pitches and swing at a bad one? That's why they're hitting .210.
One of the reasons, let me jump in, then you'll get your chance. Hang on, Frank. One of the things, Bogaerts and Kim, look, they both stink. Kim's better than Bogaerts. I've stuck up for Bogaerts, if not more than anybody. It's hard to watch this guy right now. But it also does seem, when you're struggling, that it's always 0-2. It just always seems like it goes that way. You're never ahead 2-0. And you take a pitch, and like you said, you're down in the count. Somehow Bogaerts has got to figure this out. Because either that, or another month goes by, All-Star game, he can't be batting fifth or sixth in your lineup hitting like this.
Well, they're not going to sit him.
I know they're not going to sit him, but he can't be hitting fifth or sixth in your lineup. You know, Kim, same thing, but they've dropped him down to nine. I don't know where you're going to – I guess you drop him out.
Yeah.
You could put Manny at short and Solano at third.
I mean,
you
want to
make
that either.
You want to make that crazy of a move?
I don't think so.
Go ahead, Frank.
Well, one more thing I'd like to mention. The three big guys, and obviously one of them, Bogarts, from an income standpoint,
yeah.
Machado and Tatis, none of them are hitting. And this team is not going to make a run until the big three, or at least two of those big three, start hitting the baseball. Bogart's got 11 RBIs.
He has no RBIs in his last 50 at-bats. That honestly is not – that's not acceptable.
How many at-bats did he have with runners in scoring position?
I don't know, but I know that it's been 50 ABs since he's knocked in a run. Frank's right, and this is something I have said. Machado and Tatis have to be bigger dogs than they've been. You know, they're doing all right, but they're not paid to do all right. They're paid to dominate.
I feel like we are in such a weird world right now because they've just beat a good team on the road at Wrigley.
And this is the time to take stock of it. This is the time to come home and say, hey, great guys. We've done a lot of great things. Now let's move it on to the next little level here. This is an excellent time to take stock. And, you know, they won today. If they'd have lost today, you wouldn't have batted an eye at any of this conversation.
Exactly, because they won. And
yes,
they had a winning road trip.
But a win doesn't take away the fact that they're a 500 team right now.
I know, but I don't know why we say they have to start winning road trips, and then they start winning road trips, and it's not good enough.
It's nice to win the road trip. It's nice to win the game today. And by the way, going back to your theory that some teams are better on the road, other than the Astros, I can't find off the top of my looking at this a team that was better on the road last year than they were at home.
Even the A's?
In Major League Baseball. Even the A's.
The A's never won.
They won 26 at home. They won 24 on the road last year.
Wow.
Almost every team wins more games at home than they do on the road. The Tigers won a couple more on the road last year, the Nationals. So I found a couple for you, but more than, you know, you got to do better at home than you're on the
road. Side question for someone one day, but is it the way Petco is designed that just doesn't fit with this team? I don't know. We bring the heat as fans every single night.
Fans, I'm not blaming them.
No, not at all.
They've been fantastic. All right. You go 5-1 on this homestand, you'll be right back to 500.
Is that going to be good enough?
Yeah, make me happy.
They have to go 5-1.
It's not what they have to do. They eventually have to start winning more than they're losing. They have to find a way to do that.
Water finds its level.
I'm content with where they are right now, but I, you know, content isn't going to get me where I want to go. I got to push onward, Scraby. Onward and upward. More Gwen and Chris ahead.